Welcome to the Perfectly Saint Show, episode 689. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I've decided to make a game. It's going to be like a zoo simulator. But if you play it, you're forbidden from talking about animals. You're out.
Okay. It took me a second. I got it. We will return to that at some point, because one of us has played that game. Earl is here as well.
Hold on. Give me a second. Yes. Okay, I'm getting confirmation that if you listen closely, you can still hear Gamescom's opening night live still going on. There's still some very disappointing announcements to make. Yes. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
We'll get to that as well. That's, I guess, the big news of the week. Although maybe it's not big.
Yeah, on paper it should have been, but.
And Jeff is here as well.
Hello. I have no idea what Tony is referring to.
I know, because you didn't even know.
That's the history of this podcast. Yes. Tony's talking about something, and Jeff's like, I have no idea what the fuck
you got on some pretty like niche alleyways.
What's wild is I got what you were referring to. Jeff didn't know that game existed until yesterday. So, and now he's playing it. Now he owns it. So.
I mean, it seems like a Jeff game. It really does.
Yes.
We will get to that briefly, but we've been spending some time on politics. We were talking about it right before we started recording. The Democratic National Convention in Chicago is currently ongoing. I believe you guys have watched some of it. I haven't seen any. So where do we stand after three and a half days of the Democratic National Convention?
Well, first off, I will just say this much. And I don't think it's the first one I've done it for, but it's too much time. I don't know why it's four nights. Both of them are four nights. I don't know why they need four nights.
I think it's tradition. At this point, because there was a point at which when you hold one of these conventions, like say it's the year 1900, like you go to a place, you're not traveling there for less than a week.
No, like, and I get
why
that.
These meetings are so long, and it's just been that way, and they just have never managed to change it back.
Yes, because it does not need to be. Again, it's been fun, some great speeches, but four nights. The first two nights really were kind of like vibe. The first night was like a farewell to Joe Biden's presidency, essentially, because, you know, like the nomination in 2020 was virtual because of COVID. So, okay, that's fair. Second night, fantastic speeches from the Obamas, But neither one of them are running for office of any size. So it's just kind of like, it was great to hear them speak, and yes, they're doing a fantastic job, but it's like, exercise this night, and nothing's changed for the procedure, because I think Tuesday might have been the actual roll call, which is also ceremonial, because they did a virtual roll call at the start of August to officially nominate Kamala anyhow. But really great. They've made it very lively. I think they've done a really good job of like mixing it. I did not watch the RNC for a multitude of reasons, but I think, again, you know, we're not impartial judges here. The Democrats just have a deeper bench of people who can actually speak and speak without like lying constantly. Cause like the Obamas are great. AOC was great. Clinton was good. Walls was good. Who else was? There was a couple of people. Again, there's so many speeches that they all kind of go together. But again, really great speeches. You know, they mix in entertainment. D.L. Hughey was on earlier tonight. There's a great speech from Joe Biden's daughter on Monday to introduce him. There was the football players from Walls. So they mix in the pageantry and stuff. The one thing I will say is, and not that they didn't have any young people, but almost everybody in like the prime time hours, which is like 9 to 11, to be honest, 9 to midnight most nights, were kind of like Obama's, Clinton's, Biden's. Like there was not many fresh faces to kind of like, okay, these are going to be the people that leads the party forward in 10, 15, 20 years.
Yeah, but I guess that's kind of like the prime slot where you want the people who are going to draw the most eyeballs.
You kind of
like
want
a name that a name that you've never heard before.
I mean, these are
not going to make you turn it on.
I hate to break it to you, but these are the people. Like, it's going to be Kamala. I mean, hopefully, if she wins, you know what I mean. It's going to be.
Yeah.
We're looking at it basically, and
I think I know what Earl's saying though, because like didn't.
But who
like,
else is there? There's who.
I don't know. But well, like, didn't they give Obama a spot? That, like
AOC was in the prime time slot, and in my opinion, AOC is like.
No,
I don't. People would disagree with me, but AOC, I think, is a superstar, and I think she is going to be.
Oh,
I think she's going to be president one day.
I think she's like I think it's one of those things where like, she is, and I don't disagree with you, but I think she's like one of the. And again,
that's part it. Of it,
part of it, and also because you know I'm watching on YouTube, so YouTube doesn't really have that differential. You can kind of tell when primetime starts because they'll do something to transition to it. But yeah, also
the next generation is like emerging. It's like we're getting there. Gretchen, Shapiro, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Then they're kind of like right outside the bubble of time slot where you're putting like the big names of the past,
To be fair to your point, both of them had primetime shots. Gretchen just went on like half an hour ago.
Well, my main criticism of the convention is that, like, like you just said, to be honest, go to midnight, 1 a.m. What, like, dude, cut some of the like. My big thing with this is it's really annoying how the big speaker of the night is often coming on after primetime. So I don't even know if the networks are still covering because
they
like,
are still covering.
ABC show, if you look at their slot, it's like 8 to 10, we're covering this. Now, if you're saying they still keep going?
They do.
Great. Yeah. But some people are not staying up for that.
Yeah.
It's like a 2-second clip on the news the next day, you know?
Yeah. Yes, people aren't staying up for that. That is fair. That is completely fair. And I think a lot of people, if you're not going to watch all of them, you're going to go and watch the headliners. You're going to watch the Obamas. You're going to watch, you know, Biden, you're gonna watch Bill and Hillary. You're not gonna watch like, oh, who spoke? And then also some segments in between. You're not gonna go back and watch. There's an amazing performance by John Legend and a guitarist yesterday that was fantastic. But you're not gonna go back and watch that.
Just had Leon Panetta, like a defense secretary, on. I'm like, dude, we're behind. Maybe tell this guy he's not getting to go to speak for fucking 5-10 minutes. Like some of these people are not compelling. You know what I mean? I honestly would have cut just now before we started. They had Mark Kelly come up. I would have cut him, dude. He's boring to listen to. See you. Sorry, dude. Thanks for your support. Like,
I don't disagree with you, and it's very. That's the nicest way to say it. It's very fascinating to see there are people who have it, and there are people who don't have it.
Yeah,
and you realize that it's not easy to have. You can't force it. And yes, his was interesting in the fact that, and I two different things, two different entities, but it's fascinating because they bought out, because he's married there with Gabby Gifford. So they bought her out for the guns.
Yeah, and then they should have cut him after. They should have been like, all right, you guys had your moment. Well, even her, I'm sorry, she's not that compelling to listen to. Like, I guess she was there as part of the gun thing, right?
Well, I think some of it is also, it's not necessarily, I understand where you're coming from, and I agree. Like, we want to do something entertaining. They're looking for support. And if you're like, yeah, we're going to cut you, Mark, then he might just be like, all right, well, I'm not going to help you then. Because they're all playing a fucking political
game. No, I know, yeah. And it's like, but like these guys get out there and this guy should not even care anymore because he's fucking retired. Bill, he got approved for like a 15-minute speech, and this motherfucker will submit a 15-minute speech. They approve it, and then he like what he submitted. It was just the parts that he didn't memorize. He has other parts that he memorized, and he just goes on. And then, like, oh well, I can't like just take a fucking hook and pull fucking Bill Clinton off stage. He gets to keep fucking going.
Right. It's not the Oscars where we're just going to keep playing the music louder until you can't hear
him anymore. It's just like, dude, whatever your pet project is or whatever the fuck you want to talk about, like, you want to make this short, entertaining, and why do you want to be excited about this ticket?
Has there been any washed-up wrestlers?
Sadly, not yet. Sadly, not yet. There's still time, though.
There's still a little bit of time. So, I mean, Ric Flair could go out there and elbow drop somebody.
But and the biggest comparison, and I think we folks in this clips on social media, is like the everybody's been showing a comparison between like the RNC roll call and the DNC roll call, and how much of a different vibes it is. If it was based off of vibes, it is very much a one-sided affair.
I didn't watch the roll call, but the DNC one was like, didn't they have like a DJ and they were playing like music from fucking
every
like
state.
Different states and shit. Like, I think they had like some surprise celebrity.
Pennsylvania got two songs.
California had the most songs. I was gonna say that to Georgia. brought out Little John.
Yeah, Little John.
That was awesome.
Yeah.
So from what I understand, that nobody else knew Little John was gonna be there. So I assume in 2028 or 2032, that's going to be a thing now where everybody pulls out like their celebrity surprises.
Mm.
But yes, because again, it's a very ceremonial process. At this point, you kind of know. The only time I think it would have been interesting in recent memories might have been 2016, where there was like that Bernie or bus contingency. Other than that, it's like, yeah, you know, our state. It's oh god, I don't know why. I think it was during the whatever you call it for Kevin McCarthy, where like, they'd have to do a roll call with all of the House, and every time people would like have their little speech. And it was kind of like that, where it's like, okay, you know, we could speed this up to just point like half if you just said your state, your delegate count, and who you're giving it to. Not like we have to give a 2-minute speech to everybody. But again, it was a ton of fun, and some good speeches. We'll see what comes of it, because again, it's a very isolated. It's very, but like now you have to transition that to actually action over the next 75 days, as they are prone to say.
Yeah, you have to go through September and October and up to election day and actually deliver. Like the pageantry, the ceremony of all this fun, and you know, as you got, as you know, you said hopeful, but now the hard work has to actually happen and convert that hope and enthusiasm into actual votes.
Yes. As our good friend Michelle said, do something.
Do something. To go back to what we were talking though, right before we started recording, is I'm biased because I'm such an Obama like fan from when he first, you know, showed up. But like, I'm sorry, dude. No one's better than him. No one is better than him in fucking giving a speech or writing a speech. He kills it, dude. Like, I'll be like, oh, I love Walls, and I do love Walls. I think he's great. I look at Harris, I'm like, she's got some chops. You get Obama on the stage, I'm like, dude, I'm sorry. Nobody could crush it more than him. And I know where you're going to go, Earl. And I know everyone's been saying it. I've never seen it, dude. I've never seen it.
I think
Obama's as good as him. I don't. And I know that she's well-liked, and people think she's even better than him. But I will say this, that her speech this week, you know what? She's better than I thought. But to me, she's on the level of those other people that are very talented, like someone like a Shapiro or whatever.
I think Barack
made a joke at the beginning of his speech about following her. Like, he's the only one dumb enough to do that.
Yeah, I thought she was better than him this week.
Yeah.
I thought she gave a much better. Again, it's like the difference
between me, there's something,
9.9 there's and something, a 9.7.
About her, but she did really blow me away this week. She like her speech was really good and it was well delivered. But then there's Barack. Like, I'm sorry, he's the king. Like, he's just better than anybody at it, dude. Like, I enjoy his writing more, and I enjoy his delivery more. Like,
I mean,
I gotta be real about it. Like, I don't think she's as good.
There's it's all gonna be personal preference, right? Like you just prefer his delivery, his style over hers. That's fine.
No, and
if there's anything wrong with that, and like you're saying, she did a great job anyway. So.
So, Chris, I don't know. You said you didn't watch any of this. Did you catch that he did a dick joke?
Oh, did he?
He did a dick joke about it.
Did you hear the story behind the dick joke?
Yes, that's what I'm going to tell. It's so great.
Because apparently he put it in every draft that he made of his speech, and his editors kept cutting it out. They're like,
and you keep putting it back in.
And he kept putting it back in, and then I don't think it was in the final draft. He just did it anyway.
No, I think it was still in there. But the thing is, on the page, it doesn't play as a dick joke. So like nobody knew
his delivery makes it.
Yes. So the joke is Donald Trump is obsessed with. He has this weird obsession with his crowd sizes, and Obama makes like smaller, like his fingers are apart, and he brings them closer and closer together. He looks down at them, and he looks up at the crowd, and basically saying, this guy's got a small fucking dick. So the thing. It's like, they kept trying to cut it from the speech, and he kept adding it back in, and no one understood. I'm like, he must like this line about Donald Trump being obsessed with his crowd sizes, and it's because, secretly, it was the dick joke that was Obama. But it was pretty. I mean, dude, I was dying when that happened because it's just like you don't expect that from him. You know what I mean? Like, it's like holy
I think the reason it worked. I mean, aside from it obviously being a dick joke, is it also isn't a dick joke because part of like you said, he's doing the hand. The hand thing was making fun of Trump, who does like people call him
corny hands. Hand. Yeah.
He speaks and he goes like huge, and so he was doing that. So he did it. Then he did it smaller, and then he. It was a look down and look up without, about time.
Fucking gold, man.
He didn't linger on it. He didn't say, wink, wink. He just did that and he moved on. But if you knew, everybody got it.
Everybody got it. The crowd fucking went nuts, dude. I think it's been an overall good convention, except for the fact of the, the time running over.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry. Michelle are just the best. They just did the best.
All right. Well, I'm glad everything is going well there.
We got to hear about the dick joke.
Yeah. I didn't realize that that's what had happened. I did, like, I get Reddit updates from Reddit threads that I'm Reddit groups that I'm a member of, and one of them's just like a regular news group, and was talking about how Trump was just like he was on a rampage after the Obamas spoke, and I guess that makes sense why he would be super upset. Yeah,
he was. They're being very mean. Shut up. Okay,
Hey, what was that, Earl?
I was going to say, this is one of my biggest pet peeves from this convention, and it's not about the convention itself, is that everybody needs a cause. There's an article today or yesterday that somebody, I didn't read the article, I saw the headline, probably terrible of me, but it was, I forget what it was, it was an establishment, but they were like, in days past, I would have laughed at Obama's dick joke, but here's why. And it's essentially being like, oh, we make fun of small dick people, and it should. And I'm like, what are we? Like, you really are going to bat for Trump because people make fun of small dick people?
We're
underrepresented.
that is one thing I've caught from not watching because I haven't done any of that, but like just the periphery of it is the fact checking. It's like the mainstream media is like going to bat for Trump. Like, oh well, we all know that he's trying to take away women's rights for healthcare, but like he said he's not going to do that now. He said it once, so we're going to mark this as
They're terrible laughs.
Not full true. Like, what are we doing? Like,
they're so scared about being called biased, or you know, and it just you, at some point it's like, dude, you can say what everyone see in front of their faces. Come on.
And did they ran like a, I guess a clip show or something of like Trump saying stuff, on stage, and like I guess one of the Washington Post or New York Times or somebody like they fact checked like, oh well. You know, he said that, but then he walked it back immediately after. Like, yeah, but he still said it.
Yeah. Like,
it's still true that he said it. the shit's just super frustrating. Cause it's like when Trump gets up on stage and says a bunch of bullshit, it's like, oh, well, you know, whatever. And then, you know, we get up there, or, you know, Democrats get up and say stuff. And it's like, yeah, well... Well, Trump's not going to do that, though, with no evidence of that. But we believe that Trump isn't going to do that.
My favorite was there was one where they were like, "What was? Oh, the I think Hillary Clinton said writing up that a dictator." And like, we don't know the context of the letters he sent to call him up that is revolved.
And he called him like, that.
Somebody's like, no, he showed us some of them. And like, literally, people are like, here's the letters he wrote. It was in somebody's book. But like, the next day, they're like, oh, we apologize because apparently it's that nonsense where there's two different standards where it's essentially being like, you're grading two people. Let's say you're grading 17 year olds. You're grading one as if they're in pre-K, and you're grading one as if they're doing a college level essay. But the same grade, like the same level, but there's two different standards for how you're rating them. Because, like, yes, Trump will constantly, and it's like that we have to fact check them because we don't want to see him biased. And it's like, but now you're just being pedantic?
Yeah.
Right.
I wanted to touch on one more highlight before we moved on, which is at the end of last night, Walls got to do his speech. And... They got to his family in the audience, and his like teenage son is so overcome with like pride for his dad that he's just bawling, dude. Like,
yeah,
straight up, like uncontrollably crying his eyes out and screaming, "That's my dad!" And I thought it was like a magic moment. I was just like, "Holy shit, this is like," once again, Tim Walz, his family, of course. That was a highlight for me. I thought it was beautiful last night. And the right wingers are like picking on the kid about it. And for I guess
apparently the kid has Tim Walz, like what Tim Walz does and like his family, like he's like the nuclear family, right? Like, and he's a hunter and he does all the shit that right wingers love.
He is like, as American as apple pie.
Yeah.
And like they're picking on him because his fucking son loves him. It's just like,
yeah, it's
wow, stupid. Dude. Like, that's not what I'm. Dude, it's the vice president. Like, I'm sorry, it's not like a fucking. Like, you look at the fucking Republican side, it's like, I don't think these people even eat dinner together ever. Like,
no, they hate each other.
Yeah, I mean, just a quick aside, and then we can actually talk about video games just for Jeffrey. I don't know if you're watching, but Kamiya has taken the stage already, so they were on schedule for her time.
Oh, that's good.
What about Beyonce? Right.
What was that?
Did Beyonce go?
No, I think they're going to end. They're going to end with some musical number or something, probably big party at the end.
Okay.
Bring Beyonce out.
We'll see.
Yep. You tell us since you have it on, Earl, when that all goes down. Yeah, so video games and shit. Before we get into actually like the, you know, the controllers and keyboards, I went and saw the Borderlands movie.
Oh no, why did you do that?
Because I have A-list, so it's...
Has the
I have A-list, you have a...
finally gotten to the point where you're like, I need to punish myself by going to the theater.
What was that, Jeff?
Time is fleeting.
Yeah, right. I have three movies I can see a week. What was that?
You could have died in North Carolina from the heat, and instead of, you know, living life.
It's not the money cost. It's
the time. Yes. Now, I didn't hate it. It's not good, but I didn't hate it. And I think it would have been better served if it was, was it Twisted Metal? Is that that was the TV show on Peacock, right? Anthony Mackie.
Yeah.
I think it would have been better served if it was something like that, because it doesn't work as a movie. You don't get, like, there's flashes of, like, the charm that Borderlands sometimes has. I think that charm wore off about halfway through Borderlands 2 for me. And really the fun of it past that is just playing with your friends and picking up weird guns. I think they do a good job of, like, building a live-action world that looks like Borderlands. Everybody, like, you know, it all talks fast, like you know, they all have, like, that quippy humor like Borderlands. It's just not a very good movie, but it's also not the worst thing I've seen in theaters this year, and it's not the worst thing I've seen this year at all.
What's the worst thing you've seen?
Yeah.
those movies we just watched, Jeff. Recurring Nightmares. So,
Theaters?
No, in theaters. Which one? I could tell you. Give me 1 second.
Don't say In a Violent Nature. Or I'll be upset.
No. I mean, I did not like that, but that is the worst one I've seen in theaters. So. It's right above Borderlands. Is right above Nature? In Violent Nature. I did not like In Violent Nature.
That's the worst movie you've seen in theaters.
In theaters, yes.
Oh my god, bro!
Unfrosted is the worst movie I've seen all year.
Earl, have you seen this movie yet?
What movie?
In a Violent Nature.
No.
Do you not know what it is?
No, I don't think so.
So it's reverse Friday the 13th. Like the movie takes place from the perspective of
the killer.
Yeah.
And I found it incredibly boring.
Earl, you gotta see it, dude.
Okay. I'm very curious.
It's coming. Nobody has Shudder, but if you have Shudder, it is coming to Shudder in a few weeks.
Shudder. I mean, I have Shudder in that I have my friend Shudder.
All right. So in September, it is coming on Friday to Shudder. It is basically, like Chris said, it is basically a Friday the 13th movie. Like a picture early Friday the 13th movie. But the camera's, like, always following Jason, or I think they call him now here, Johnny, something like that.
Yeah, Johnny.
Johnny.
Jimmy.
Johnny. It's Johnny. It's Johnny, yes.
Yeah, one of my favorite Meadows statues in recent memory is Behind the Mask, The Rise of...
It's nothing like that.
It's nothing like that.
No.
It's
I like that. I like Leslie Vernon way more than Violent Nature.
I actually didn't like that movie. This is very much like, it is like straight up Jason movie, but like, you don't get to know the characters or anything. You hear him as a campers in the background as he slowly gets closer and closer. And goes to kill him. So there's like, it's kind of an art house element to it, but like Chris's reaction to it and other people's reaction is going to be in for a much more boring experience than it actually was. I thought it was actually like, I was super into it. It was like if a Jason movie was made by someone who had some like artistic like leanings and ability, I would be interested to hear what you think, Earl.
Yeah.
Me and Chris are split on this one.
Yeah, I will be. Well, I guess if it comes on Shudder next month, I would probably save it for spooky season.
Yeah, you might as well wait the extra 2 weeks out and watch it in October. But additional to that, so while I was away, when I was in South Carolina, I watched Borderlands when I came home. But in South Carolina, I finished watching the Castlevania Netflix series.
the first one, right?
The first one, not Nocturne, which is the new one. So it's the one with Trevor Belmont, Sifis, and Alucard. It's mostly, like, I guess it's like Castlevania 3-ish is the time period for that. I think that series is really good for the first two seasons, and like then a quarter of the final two seasons, I think, are really good. I don't think the back two after they kill Dracula in season two, it just loses
it's kind
a bit
of hard. Yeah.
It's not bad. Like, it's just, I think it's,
but like, it's
only about five of the 20 episodes are really, really good. And then everything else, like, okay, this is fine. Just doesn't really have much purpose until the end. But yeah, that's really, really fun. And I'm looking forward to watching Nocturne, which is, that's Richter Belmont and like that time period. So what
I still need to finish that one.
What's the one that was Jeff that was on TurboGrafx?
Is that
Rondo of Blood?
I was gonna say
Rondo of Blood. Yeah. Which was that like a variation of another one, or am I crazy?
Am I thinking of Dracula X?
Dracula X. Yeah. Rondo of Blood. Yeah, and I think that was Dracula X over here. Because Rondo of Blood is in Japanese only.
Are their own castle. That's not like, it's not like Rondo of Blood is a Sega Genesis game that's been ported over to TurboGrafx. Like,
No. It's Rondo of Blood is, you know, it's its own thing. And then Dracula X is kind of the Super Nintendo version of that, but it's not like they changed the story
and it never came here, right? Like,
right, yeah,
okay. All right, so Rondo Blood was original Castlevania game just for TurboGrafx.
Yep.
And I seem to remember liking it. I like TurboGrafx
pretty good. It was on the TG16 mini.
Yeah I have it still hooked up.
it's a really, like, it's really cool. It's a really cool game, but that's the storyline is that, you know, it's Richter from that game and follows that storyline that just came out last year, I guess, and season two is coming soon. So, but very good. What I watched of the first Netflix series, and assuming the second one will be good as well. So on to actual games. What have you guys been playing for the past 2 weeks?
Well, just a quick aside. That's really to your previous point was in my head, because the Borderlands movie was a fantastic hit, one of the biggest. It's going to be in record books for sure. It is actually coming out on digital next week. So I think that would be 3 weeks from it dropped.
Yeah, last week was second week. Yep.
So next Friday, I believe.
Wow, that's so quick.
Yeah.
It's funny is I was thinking about playing one of the Borderlands games.
They are fun.
I like them.
And I think, I mean, I guess we can parlay this into the other thing. I think the idea was like the Borderlands movie was going to come out and be this massive hit that they didn't come out and announce Borderlands 4. And they're like, yes, more Borderlands. Instead, you had this huge dud of a movie, and you get this game announcement that is just an announcement of a game.
Well, I think Randy Pitchford said something on Twitter like, I know, basically like acknowledging that no one fucking liked the movie, but like, don't worry, it's coming. That's not the movie.
Yeah, and they announced it, but they just announced Borderlands 4 2025. There wasn't even, I think it was like a, not even like a CG trailer. It was just like an announcement trailer of like Borderlands 4 next year.
Yeah.
And again, I think it was very much them being like, the anticipation to me so high. It's like, no, you needed something here, not just a name, because your brand is not what you think it is.
Well, that's the big, like, I mean, it's not a good movie regardless, but they're really a draw for Borderlands, like to go watch a movie.
No.
Was there ever a draw? Right. I think that's it, Jeff. Right. Like, it's bad. It's not a good movie regardless, but I don't think there was a big draw to go see.
It's like a juvenile film. Juvenile, yes. Fallout. Like,
yeah. And I think they accomplished that in the film, but like the Borderlands nuts that are like, oh, they changed lore. Like, do people actually, nobody gives a shit about the lore Borderlands, man.
I am playing Borderlands for the crazy numbers going up on my stupid, crazy, fucking randomly generated guns. That's it.
That was the other thing, and I'm not going to ask Chris just so. But I did speak to somebody when they saw it. I'm like, oh, like, are there any crazy guns? They're like, not really.
Are there Which, any like,
no,
there, are there there's any not. Special powers? And they're like, yes. It's kind of like that whole, there's one special person who unlocks their power, Nitty, and Trope.
Yes.
And I'm like, oh, so what is Borderlands about this?
About the vault. It's the vault hunters. They make vault hunter jokes about 7,000 times. But they don't ever actually explain what the fuck the vault is.
I mean, to be fair, that also works out in the first game. To work.
Yes. Exactly. Like this, I don't know. To me, it felt like Borderlands. Like, the story is nonsensical. It doesn't really make any goddamn sense. When they get there, there's hey, the squid thing makes an appearance. I don't know. I don't know what people wanted out of a Borderlands movie. I think this might have been the best that you could have gotten out of a movie that's an hour and 45 minutes long. Like,
you are too kind.
I mean, I probably am. I've
seen it, but you are too kind.
It was the worst thing I saw out of the three movies I saw last weekend. So,
what were you up to? Just talk
to me. I saw Alien and it's another one I saw too, which I'm now drawing a blank on. But
I'm sure.
Oh, Cuckoo. Memorable. Which you didn't like, Earl.
No, I did. I did not like Cuckoo. Oh my gosh, just really quickly, boys, I guess Cuckoo was weird because at the end of it you realize like the main character isn't the main character, and I mean, I don't mean that in the sense that like, oh, you know, like it's somebody else. It's like the movie happens around her. Like, she's not the target of anything. She's just our eyes into it.
Yes. Things are happening with her there, and if she were not there, like, everything would have still played out.
Yes.
Maybe not in the exact same way, maybe in a worse way for some people, but it still would have played out. Okay. What have you guys played?
Played the hot new game, apparently. I guess everyone's playing it.
Everyone in China, Jeff.
Everyone in China, yes. Which is why this game has like the best Steam numbers ever.
Yeah. So Jeff's played Black Myth Wukong, right? Am I saying that correctly?
I'm not a cultural fucking
close enough.
Jeff, when you discuss this, try to avoid any references to feminist propaganda.
So I guess this is a big deal in China because it's like a big
Journey to the West adaptation.
I don't know what that is, but anyways. They like it. I heard that they got a day off there. Is that true that they got a day off to play the game?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe. Probably not.
Anyways, it's huge in China. Yeah, I'm not far into the game. I am like at the second boss. But very pretty. Very pretty. Very nice graphics. And very like the reason I like a whim after like not hearing about it and like out of nowhere, like, oh, what's this? Oh, is I've been playing a lot of like From Software games lately, and I'm trying to keep that fix going. I need something new in my veins, and it looks kind of like that. And it is kind of like that so far. A lot of it is very reminiscent, you know, you right click to target an enemy. I mean, every game does that now. What is different is that, like, probably one of the biggest differences so far is the placement of buttons where, like, your heavy attack or your basic, your light attack is like X or square. It would be on PlayStation. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I should say square because it's not on Xbox.
It's not an Xbox yet, right?
Yeah.
It's some sort of technical issue.
Yeah, your light attack.
If you're playing on PC, it would be yeah. If you're if you're using a standard Xbox controller.
Yeah, your heavy attack is trying. A lot of it, the other controls are kind of similar though. Like circle is to dodge. There's little differences in the controls that, for whatever reason, I don't know why you would.
What about the control scheme reminds you of the current political climate in China?
I have no. I you're asking the wrong person to that one.
We'll probably get to that when you're done talking about it.
Yeah. I know. I've heard there's all sorts of weird things about it, but it overall kind of like. And too, because like some reviews were like, this is more like God of War. I was talking to Sean, first clip of it, you're like, oh, that looks like a Souls-like game. But the one review, probably IGN's review or whatever, was like, oh, you know, it's more action-y, like God of War, From Software's not action.
I mean, but, there's a diff, like, they're both action. Yeah, no, there is. There's a different style of action, right?
There's, I agree 100%. Sean, our friend Sean, told me that he, like, completely ignored it because he assumed it would play like Ninja Gaiden. I haven't played Ninja Gaiden in, like, a long-ass time, like, since it came out, and I was like, oh, boy, I can't do this. Before I remember of Ninja Gaiden, it felt like I was just like mashing buttons like crazy. You're trying to do combos, and maybe yes. Oh, so yeah, that's correct. Yeah, this is not like that. It's very much like Dark Souls-ish or Elden Ring-ish. Like I'm going around, and you could actually charge your heavy attack, which you could. I think you could do in most of the
games. Most character action games, you can charge a heavy attack.
I'm charging my heavy attack, knocking guys out in one hit. It doesn't feel like that, like frenetic, like frantic action,
Right.
It's like it feels pretty deliberate to me.
Okay.
And again, I played about maybe an hour in. I'm having a good time. I guess where it differentiates, like, things I would want to point out to people who have not played it yet, who are familiar with From Software games. What I think is interesting is, like, you still have bonfires. It's like basically like a shrine.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't have to, like, get to a shrine to level up. If you are out there and you're on a path somewhere and you're fighting and you get enough souls or whatever, they actually can convert that experience point that you can spend. So whether you live or die, that experience point stays on you. And once you get that experience point from building up enough souls, you can spend it right away. Like you don't have to go, like, most Dark Souls, like you have to go to the bonfire to go level up. Here you could level up out in the field, and you're never going to lose that. Like, I don't think when you die you lose anything. Like you don't use, like both money and the experience, and none of it goes away when you die. So I'm currently at the second boss, and I'm having trouble. I've like died against them a couple times, but as I'm going towards them again, I'm kind of grinding, and so I'm like, I know eventually I'm going to get over that hill and get them. Other than that, like, again, I'm not far enough in to say much else so far.
Okay.
Except that when you level up there, there's a skill tree. You go and do different things, obviously, like just focus on your core stats, or you could, there's another part of the skill tree where you could, like, do different stances. which you know, are like getting moves for the combat, which is maybe where it leans more into like the God of War or action, like more action element. Maybe I haven't gotten to that,
okay,
to that yet. I think what else? Oh, and I guess the other thing I would say is that like it is, it's clearly taking a lot of cues from software, but there is, I'd say, more cutscene. Like the cutscenes are not egregious to the point where they're annoying me, but like there is more cutscenes and like story and like trying to set up what is going on here. Mm-hmm. I don't get it because one, I don't give a fuck, and two, I feel like maybe if you know the myth that they're telling a little bit, you know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm sure like
clearly you're an expert in.
Yeah. So I'm sure like the people that are more familiar with this are like, it's probably hitting the right notes or whatever. But all I know is I'm a fucking monkey man running around fucking shit up. I guess the other thing is like, yes, there's a skill tree, and I'm sure, you know, obviously that means you could build yourself out the way you want. But I guess like, it's one thing that's a little bit of a drawback for me, because it's one thing I don't like about some From Software games. Is that you're not choosing, there's no different classes to begin with, and I don't know how different the builds can get. I have a suspicion it's more like something like Bloodborne, where it's like, it's a very, or Sekiro, where it's like a very specific type of thing you're doing. Because, so
the,
like,
the build isn't as important, it's more like how you,
yeah,
skills and stuff.
Yeah, it's just like, you don't get to choose the class, you're the monkey man. You got the staff that is like a melee weapon, and you do get like a. I got one magic spell so far, which is pretty cool. It allows you to like freeze your enemy for 5 seconds, which is, I think, it's very. It's really awesome, because like imagine a Dark Souls game where you're struggling with a boss and you're having trouble with like their moveset, like they're crazy. Hey, I could just freeze this guy for fucking 5 seconds and wail on him. So yeah, I don't know. I don't want to go on too long about it, because again, I don't know what I'm gonna be telling you in a week after I play more of it. But like, my very first impression is like, I have zero regrets about buying this game. I think it's really cool.
Good.
I don't know that I recommend it to people that don't like Souls games, though. I don't know that I would recommend it to you.
Okay.
Do you think it's good enough that it will have like infectious popularity? Maybe similar to the way that COVID-19 is infectious.
Why are you so anti-China?
Tony, do you want to explain the stipulations they put on for streamers?
Apparently, they for this game, the publisher sent out a bunch of codes to the major studios and didn't put any stipulations on them. You know, play the game, review it, whatever. And then there was like a second tier of folks who received the code to this game with some stipulations. The first stipulation was play the game and have fun. The rest of it was restrictions on what they were allowed to talk about during their stream or review. And it was things like, you can't discuss COVID-19. Don't include any feminist propaganda. Don't discuss the current political climate in China. Like, it was all like stupid.
This is one of those things where if you didn't say it, like, we probably wouldn't have done it. Like, now you make me want to talk about the political climate.
Right.
What the fuck?
Right. It's one of the. It's also one of those things when you send out a list like that, it's going to be leaked. It will absolutely be leaked.
What are the folks
to receive this thing? And now everyone is discussing it, and now they're walking the list back, and now they look like idiots. Apparently, there was some sort of sexual harassment scandal at the studio that was producing the game. They were trying to like they didn't want people to talk about feminist stuff because that would lead to this discussion. And like, I just have no idea what was going through their minds when they sent this out. Because of course, if you send this out to any journalistic outlet with any sort of ethics, they're going to send this to somebody else, and it's going to get shared, and it's going to get out there, and they're going to look like idiots. Which is what happened. Which is why I keep making jokes.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a mess on their end, so. But I'm glad that glad you are enjoying it. You clearly, because you didn't know about the game until yesterday, Jeff walked away for a moment, but there are people online currently celebrating its success as a victory for
nonsense
anti-wokeness.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Steam reviews for the game, it's pretty hilarious because there are clearly lots of reviews in there from folks who haven't actually played the game yet,
mm-hmm.
Who are, you know, talking it up. This game is awesome. This game is fantastic. Like talking about things that would happen like hours and hours into the game, and you look at their playtime and it's like 0.3 hours.
Yeah, like, you haven't played enough to know anything about this game yet.
Clearly there's been an effort to rig what people are seeing. I don't know, maybe they're used to that sort of thing in China. In fact they are used to that sort of thing in China. I'm happy that Jeff is playing this because then we could get like an actual opinion on what the game is like.
And yeah. Yeah,
it does sound like a game for me, but like it's a game for Jeff.
No, like it looks beautiful, but the fact that it is like a little more Souls-like than if it was more like God of War, maybe I would play it, yeah. Right? But it being a more Souls-like game, like I just, there's too much other stuff to play.
Did you see the Kotaku review of the game?
No.
They went through and like they made sure that like the first like three paragraphs of the review violated every single rule that they had put on.
That's great.
It was funny. It was funny.
top tier stuff there. Tony, did you play anything over the last 2 weeks?
I played a ton of Witcher 3, which I've discussed on this podcast innumerable times, so I'm not going to bring that up again. I did want to talk a little bit about Sins of the Solar Empire 2,
mm-hmm.
Which I haven't, like, there's a bunch of tutorials in the game. I haven't made it through the tutorials. The game looks beautiful, like, absolutely beautiful. If you, like, have space battles, you have, like, a 360-degree view of it. Like, you can spin the camera around. There's a mode where you can, like, turn off the user interface and, like...
Okay.
See the battles occurring in space, like in three dimensions, which you don't normally see in any game. And it looks super awesome.
That's neat.
But I'm not far enough into the game to have an actual opinion yet.
Okay.
But the thing I wanted to bring up was that the game launched on Steam a week and a half ago.
Mm-hmm.
The game launched on the Epic Store something like 3 months ago, like fully launched.
Okay, so it was just like an early access only on the Epic Store. Like not early access group, but it was full game.
No, the game was not finished. So okay. When they originally put the game on the Epic Store, Stardock, the publisher, had all this like early access stuff on there. Apparently they had gotten Epic to fund development of the game.
Mm-hmm.
But as part of the agreement, they had to remove all of that early access stuff from the Epic Store. So the game has been available on the Epic Store for months.
Okay.
Unfinished. They've still been working on the game.
Mm-hmm.
And like there are all these awful user reviews of this game that is clearly not ready for prime time, but was only on the Epic Store so they could get their funding to develop the game.
Huh.
I'm on because I like Stardock games. I played a bunch of them. I like the Sims games. I like Galactic Civilizations. Like it's the Political Machine is like they have other games. So I'm on their listserv. They hadn't promoted this game at all until the game actually launched on Steam a week and a half ago as a completed game.
And they're like, here it is. It's out now.
Yep. Yep. That's all that happened. They took Epic's money to fund their game development and walked away.
Wow. That's crazy that like Epic didn't lock it in more solidly.
Yes, it's a very, very weird way of having done that.
Because, like, Epic has done, like, you know, I mean, Alan Wake 2. I don't think that's on Steam yet. And that's because, you know, the Epic funded through Remedy. They paid for some of that there. But
yeah.
So you would think that they would have signed some sort of agreement with Stardock to do the same thing here. Like, all right, Sins of a Solar Empire 2 is an Epic exclusive for, you know, what, the next year or whatever. But 3 months, that's crazy. And that was just kind of like an early access release, but not early access.
But not. We're going to pretend like it was done. It's out here. The other cool thing about the game that I didn't mention. So it's a real-time strategy game in space. The planets move.
Okay. So they rotate around.
They rotate around on axis. And an axis. So, like, you could have this route into the, like, there are these routes that you could use to fly your ships between planets.
Right.
They switch. So, like, you could have this planet that can attack this other planet, and then suddenly it can't anymore because the two have moved further apart, and now they can't reach each other, or there's something in between.
That's kind of neat.
Yeah, I've never had that in a game before where the map was literally changing as you were playing on it.
Like, I mean... I guess, like, it happens, right? Like, we rotate right around the sun, and sometimes we're closer to Mars than other times.
Like, it's one of those things, like, once you start thinking about, like, our solar system and where the planets are at any one time, like, they may be really close, they could be on opposite sides of the sun, like, they're not static.
Yeah.
And I played lots of space strategy games, and in none of them did the planets actually move.
No, because I'm sure that the behind the scenes math that you would have to do and then to actually make it happen is nuts.
Yeah, part of the UI is this cool thing where you can, like, see, like, the next hour into the future, see where stuff will
just
be.
Just to kind of see how the celestial map plays out. That's neat. That's really
you could,
cool.
You could, like have a fleet stationed on this place.
Mm-hmm.
It's just sitting there until it moves into a certain point where now it can attack this place that was undefended because you couldn't get there before. You start thinking about those kind of things.
That's a neat, like, addition to the strategy of probably an already intricate strategy game.
Yeah.
Cool. Jeff, are you back?
Yeah.
Well, let's see. Earl, have you played anything this,
I have. I think we talked about this briefly when it was announced. Nintendo announced what Emio the Smiling Man, the new visual novel adventure game in the Famicom Detective Series game franchise.
Yes.
And then last week they came out that they're doing a demo, and the demo is going to be, I think, the first three chapters. So yesterday they released the prologue in chapter one, Tuesday I should say, and I think today chapter two, and then next week is chapter three, and then your progress will carry over to the final game. So I've been curious about these games since the original two were remade for the Switch. So I'm like, oh, there's a demo, let me try this out. Good thing I tried out the demo because I'm awful at these games. It's a visual novel adventure game with very, you know, investigation. If you play like an Ace Attorney, you kind of play a similar game,
mm-hmm,
where you go around to an environment and you tend to, you know, it tends to be like static images of people talking, and you have certain prompts. You have, like, you know, ask, investigate, call, talk, think, take, yeah. So stuff like that. So you do that, and you. Again, it's the prologue sets up the first murder. A young man is murdered at night. You get called in as a junior detective. Why a 17-year-old is doing this, who knows?
Very, very junior.
Yes. So you do that and everything. And I just, like I said, I just realized I'm really bad at these games because a lot of times they're obtuse in a way that I don't think, because it's like, oh, just keep on, like, asking them the same thing over and over again. And it's not like you're asking them the same thing over and over again, but you're going to the menu and doing the same thing over and over again, because each time you do it, it's like, oh, this triggered, like, they remembered something, so you have to go back and, like, follow up on that. Like, you're not asking them, like, you're the game's throwing in the details for you. But, like, yeah, so there was one part yesterday where I was supposed to talk to the detective, and, like, the character's like, she looks familiar somehow. And I'm like, okay. I might think he's like, oh, she looks familiar. I don't know why. You talk to her. She's like, oh, where do I know you from? And the game won't let you progress until you. So what you had to do, as far as I could tell, is like, because you can, you know, you can examine the area. So I was examining the area. I looked at her. It would just say she's a cop. It had to occur in the face. And like, once you're kind of face, it's like, oh, of course, it triggers the memory where it's like, I've never met you. But I guess in hindsight, like, it's one of those things where context is like, yes, they are familiar. I should aim at the face. So it's like that thing where I'm like, it's not obtuse. It's just not how I think, Yazuki. So it's interesting, but I don't know how much more of it I will continue playing because it challenges my brain in a way that I don't think. And maybe that should be good for me to try, but I don't know if I want to invest money. And feeling dumber than I am.
Well, that's unfortunate.
I will also say, it's the game is, I mean, I guess I'm missing an option of games also in Japanese with just English subtitles, which makes sense. I mean, it's not a huge budget game. And it's actually very dark for Nintendo, since it deals with, I mean, like I said, literally somebody gets murdered and like the crux of it, Emiyo, the smaller man, is a legend in this game's world where like it's a man with a paper bag, a person I should say, with a paper bag over their head with a smiling face who comes up to sobbing girls and essentially strangles them to death.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, this
is that is like, very dark for a Nintendo game.
Yeah. Yeah. My main thought was like, oh, this would be an interesting horror movie. So
okay. Anything else?
You know, the usual new Fortnite season started. I think I mentioned it before because I played it with a friend before, but I started A Way Out again with another friend.
Mm-hmm.
I do enjoy that game. I do enjoy the co-op element of it. But, you know, I think I forgot when I played A Way Out the first time. I forgot if it was before or after I played It Takes Two. But you can clearly see like they earned from A Way Out. It's the same developers. Where yeah. Like, there's a lot more gameplay. It Takes Two. Like a lot of this, it is kind of you on invisible rails where you're just kind of going where the game's telling you to go. There's not much. Like we got to a shootout segment. I'm like, the actual shooting of this game, the actual gameplay of this game is actually kind of bad. But like the story and like the camaraderie and like working together is actually really fun. And I think It Takes Two is like, okay, we need to make more of the gameplay decent. But these stories, like, I is whatever. Yeah.
That's one that I keep meaning to play at some point.
Yes. I mean, it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. Yeah. A friend of mine was like, oh, we should play this. And then it's just getting together to play it is the downfall of that one.
Yes. Because, yeah, it seems like it doesn't seem like it would be fun. On your own, because I assume there's a single player mode, I think, or
I don't know. I don't think there is.
Sorry, there's a Yoku co-op mode. That's what I'm
okay. So you can play it like couch co-op, but all right. Jeff, you played some Immortals of Avium. I don't know how far you got into it. Tony played a bit of this.
How far did you get in, Tony?
I think I got through like the first three levels or so.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what'd I was you think like, oh, this game's fine. It's fine.
Okay. It's kind of exactly the same. I'm exactly yeah. the same.
I was like, I can spend my time on playing games that are actually really good, or I can play this, and I stopped.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly, dude. Like, I'm intrigued by it, okay? And, you know, I watched a review of it. I'm like, that is cool. Like, basically, it's a first-person shooter, but, you know, you're, like, playing as a mage.
Yeah, it's like Call of Duty, but instead of a shotgun, you have a spell that, like, works like a shotgun.
Yeah, and that is exactly right too, Chris. So there's like basically three main types of weapons, and one I would say is like your basic assault rifle or maybe even a submachine gun, and one is more like a, not a sniper rifle, but like a closer to that, like a regular rifle where it's like one shot at a time.
Like a scout rifle or yeah. something like a bolt action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly that. And then there's like the shotgun, you know.
Yep.
And there's other spells and stuff on top. Like there's like a spell to like if you shoot at something it slows time, and so like you actually have platforming sections where you could like shoot this spell at like a, it's like a spinning block to make it go slow enough that you could jump onto it and jump to the next. You know, shit like that. Like, and it's the type of game that I really wish there was more of, and I want to support. Like, one, just a single player shooter, I think is cool. And I think I like really like the idea of this that you're playing as like a mage. Like, it's neat, dude. Like, it's all magic based. That's awesome, yeah. Dude. It's like you take like a certain build in Skyrim, but make it play almost more like a Call of Duty game or something is really cool. But Tony like hit the nail on the head. It's like you play it, and you're like, yeah, it's pretty good. Like that's cool. It's intriguing, and it's like they clearly did a decent job on this. I'm also playing Dark Souls 3, so I'll see you later. Yeah. Like,
yeah, I kind of feel bad for this class of game, which
I feel bad, like, I feel bad work. About it.
Yeah. It's like B tier.
Game is perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But there are enough really good games out there where, like, I'm not going to spend my time playing this game, even though it's fine. There's nothing wrong with it. Just it's not as good as other games.
If I was like really starved for like a game, just because like yeah. I've been such a From Software kick, I'm playing all those. So, like,
you're not starved for.
I've also bought games and the Xbox sale. Like I bought Blasphemous about, and yeah. So I'm just like, this is cool. Like I was intrigued by it enough to download it and playing it. I was like, this seems good. Like this seems like a game I would like. So I'm not saying it's bad in any way, but as in the same way as Tony, it's like, well, like the other games I'm playing are like drawing me to them more just because
yeah.
They're like some of the best games ever made. So I, you know, it is what it is. It seems interesting though. Like I would definitely recommend it. Like if that sounds cool to you, like you should check it out. Like it's on Game Pass also. So,
I downloaded it tonight because, you know, Tony had said, you know, he thought it was okay as well. And you started out very negative because like it takes like an hour to get moving, right?
Oh
like,
yes. Yeah.
But then you turned around on it. You were like, no, this seems pretty cool. So I was like, all right, I'll download it. And I looked at it's like 15 to 20 hours so to beat it, and that's really a long time for a first person shooter. Like,
really? I don't think that's too long. If you want to see, it's a single player. You know, what do you want? A single player shooter that's 5 hours. I don't know about that.
Oh,
a single player shooter is 5 hours. You're spending $60. Well, I guess you're not spending it here.
Oh, no, I'm not spending $60. Right.
I was right. saying, like, I was saying, a single player shooter, I expect to be at least 10 hours. I mean, if there's no multiplayer on top of it, I want it to be like an experience. Like,
But I think sometimes you just end up padding the game in a way that doesn't make it fun.
No, I don't think a 10 hour shooter is too long.
I'm not saying it's too long, but you might not have 10 hours of content.
Yeah.
I don't feel that's how this felt. It was literally just like, if I was like only playing this game and nothing else, or if I had paid for it, you know, I might've been like singing its praises even more. Like I have nothing really bad to say except for what Chris brought up. The beginning of this game, I'm sorry, this type of beginning it should be like outlawed or banned. Somehow, like, I do not like this. Like, you literally like follow a character around as they talk to you for a half hour, and then like they're teaching you like how to jump and basic shit like this. And it's just like, why do I gotta follow this person around forever? And there's like so many fucking cutscenes. Like you're talking about, and then after I was probably playing for almost an hour. Then it starts the tutorial level, and I'm just like, come on, dude. This is not cool. Like, not a fan of this. Also, I think my whole rant is just gone.
It's over now.
Yeah.
So, wait. This is a stupid question. Is this still recorded, Chris Gone, or no?
It is. Craig
it says it is, but if he's just on his computer, I don't know.
I think Craig is recording this for us, but
yeah, but I mean, does he then send? Because I thought Craig was always a backup.
No, Craig is like the primary recording.
A primary.
Like, Chris normally has a backup running as well, but Craig is who he normally uses to.
But if his PC froze.
Well, Craig is separate from his PC.
Yes, Craig is omnipotent. Craig can. Okay. Gaze into our very souls and know how we are feeling.
I don't know if Craig's ever been explained before, because I'm sure people are listening to this random part. They're like, who the hell is Craig?
Craig is obviously the fifth member of our team.
He's just very shy. He doesn't speak as much or ever, really. No, he does speak. He says, what, now recording?
Now recording.
So there you go.
But he's an excellent listener. He really is.
Fantastic.
I appreciate that about you, Craig.
I don't know. I wish he listened to me better.
Well, sometimes I think it's your connection. Because, like, you pop in and out.
Yeah. I don't know what it is, though, because it's like my internet is totally fine in every other capacity, on every other device. I don't know what it is. And I remember, like, there was a time I thought it was like the cheap headset I was using or whatever, but now I got a new nice one. It's like, it's a good mic and
it still doesn't work.
It's just the same,
all broken.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna, like, at some point have to try, maybe if we try a hardwire, what do you call it, wired connection.
So, I mean, I don't know.
What do you record from, I guess, is my question. Like, what device are you using?
This fucking laptop that my wife bought me a couple years ago. HP. I don't know what the fuck. Nothing like, you know, $300 laptop. Like,
oh. I mean, that could probably be the issue.
I guess, but, like, I don't know. I feel like basic internet connection is like something. I got any, like, problem with my internet connection as far as I can tell. Otherwise, I could run a speed test right now. Sweet.
So, just
Earl, what have you been playing?
Well, I was gonna say, I've been, just a quick aside. Two things, really. I guess I don't. Yeah, and I don't know if this is recorded or not, but yeah, apparently there was no surprise. Her speech is over. There was no big surprise. There was no big guest. I mean, to be fair, they were not the
ones.
What's
wrong with Pink? Did you just insult Pink?
But we knew Pink was there.
Yeah. Pink was the guest. That was
it. And again, I don't know. I don't think they said it. I think people were just, like, hyping it up. So maybe they got.
No. They definitely, like, leaked it out if.
People have been guessing, like, all day long, like, is it Taylor Swift? Is it Beyonce? Yeah. Like, I've seen so many theories.
My guess is, like, they were playing people to get them to watch.
Yeah, probably.
Like, hey, what if we say this?
I mean, I feel like you're not going to get people to watch this. It is, like, I was going to say it's the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you hype up, there's a big surprise, you know. And all the kids put on their Halloween masks at 9 p.m. for the big giveaway.
The other thing I was going to say.
And then they all die.
Just to circle back. I mean, I guess I was going to say Journey to the West is, like, the basis for so many random things that you probably know some of it. Because it was the original basis of Dragon Ball.
Enslaved.
I've never seen Journey to the West.
And Save, Journey to the West was the other one I was thinking of. Part of, oh crap, what was it recently? I mean, there's literally things called like the Monkey King. I thought it was, but yeah,
like I've heard of the Monkey King. I feel like I've heard of that, but again, it's nothing at all I'm familiar with. I would have never known.
Into the Badlands, I guess. I don't know if you've seen that TV show. Really good TV show.
No, I have not. What is that? Is it animated or?
It's a live action show. It's on AMC. Probably it was on during the peak of The Walking Dead, so probably got overshadowed by that. I think it was
Into the Badlands. I've never heard of that.
Yeah. Really good. I would recommend checking it out. I think what's up?
I don't know. My PC crashed and now Discord isn't loading on it. So
Yeah, you sound different now.
I have another headset and I'm on my phone. Fortunately, Craig is still recording, so that's good.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time while you were gone complimenting Craig for his efforts.
What is it called when you're like delaying for time when a show, live show goes
vamping?
Oh. It's a riot. Vamping. Yeah, we were vamping like a motherfucker. We were vamping great.
Where were we? I assume we finished Immortals of Avia.
We did.
Okay.
I think we're about to get to Earl and what he's been playing. I think that was...
No, I talked about Emio.
Yeah.
Oh,
so
never
so,
mind. So, so was
my,
you.
My stuff. So yeah, I speaking of games that are just fine, played a little bit of Far Cry 5.
Yep, that
very definition of
fine.
Yeah.
Fine. It's perfectly fine. I, because I do some of the challenges on True Achievements, I needed to get achievements in 9 games I had previously played, but had started before the month of August. So that was one that was sitting there and only had a couple achievements in. So I was like, oh, I'll play this. And it seems kind of fitting, being as the political climate we're in. That game does nothing with its very white nationalist coded enemies.
Yeah,
the trailer did more than the game.
Yeah, there's nothing there. But that game is perfectly fine. Like, I think Far Cry scratches an itch that I have not played in a while. So,
yeah, I can see that. I would always go for, like, if I want to play Far Cry now, you know what I play is that 80s fart something dragon.
Blood Dragon,
whatever. It was the DLC for Fallout 3.
Yeah.
And Fallout. It's like 5 hours long.
What was that, Earl?
I think it was Far Cry.
Oh, yeah.
That, you know,
said Fallout 3.
Far Cry 3, Blood Dragon. Yes.
Oh, I said Fallout 3?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, my bad.
Is this
know what I was saying.
No, I didn't know Fallout had something. I mean, I would have been down for that. But yes, I think that retro, that's a vibe that should come back. But I guess we're over 80s nostalgia now.
It's all 90s nostalgia now.
I'm not.
I mean, you may not be, but we're aging out. Like, they need to start getting...
No, and was that Chris saying now 90s nostalgia? Like, that is what's happening is 90s. And I'm totally like, 90s were my actual heyday. Like, that was when I was, like, in high school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But to me, like, ever since that time, and even now, the 80s, there's something about the 80s that I'll never get sick of. Like, there's something different about the 80s. Like, and maybe it's because I was, like, a really little kid during that time, but, like, that aesthetic to me is will always be better than the 90s, even though the 90s is where most of my fond memories of being a kid are.
Blood Dragon captures that vibe very well, Jeff. I think Michael Biehn might be the voice actor in it.
Dude from Terminator.
Yeah, and it has that Terminator kind of look to it, but also like a trashy like straight to video
Like, I wish if they came out with a full Far Cry that was that, I would, that would get me back into Far Cry. Honestly, dude.
And Tony, did you play some of Six? The Mex, well, it wasn't Mexico, but like the Latin America one. Did you play some of that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Again, fine.
Yeah, I think that's what I've come to the conclusion with this. Is like those games are fine.
Yeah, they're all the same. It's the same game in a different.
Yeah, it felt fresh to me with like when I played Part Three.
Yeah, that was the last one that was new. The rest have all been identical.
I think me and Fozzie pushed for that to be Game of the Year that year, and like honestly, I probably wouldn't still choose that. But that's when it felt fresh, and it has not felt fresh since. That's over a decade ago.
Well, the previous two Far Cries before 3 were completely different types of games.
Yes, like, yeah.
And 3 is the one that hit like that, which is probably why you're like, "Hey, this is awesome! It's fresh and Ubisoft."
It was like
that's what it is. That's what Far Cry is now.
It was like the establishing of the Ubisoft open world game, which I guess so. Yeah, you know, there were other games at the time too. They were probably getting to that too, but like that really kind of cemented what it was. And but like again, that time it felt super fresh. Here now, playing like 3-4 sequels later, it's like, dude, I don't know. It's fine. If you're like in the mood, if you're in the mood to play Far Cry, then you might as well play whatever the new one is, right? But
right. But I had 5. I mean, I owned it, and so I played a little bit of it. Maybe I'm a third of the way through, because I think it's like, oh, you have to like, there's like lieutenants of the big cult leader guy. So I'm like almost through like the first cult, the first lieutenant area. It seems fine. It's cool. Like there's, you know, I have a dog now. I think there's a, you can get a bear to be your partner at some point, which seems goofy. Yeah, it as a game, it's perfectly fine. And then I played some Bethesda stuff, although one's not Bethesda. Tony tried Fallout London a couple weeks ago. And they've updated it since you tried it, Tony.
And oh, yeah.
Way more stable now. And I was able to get it running on my Steam Deck. So if I can get it running on a handheld, you should be able to get it running on anything at this point. And that game's cool. How far? What it was crashing after your train crash, right? Like you were trying to get off the train.
Yeah, you finish like that intro section. You get on the train, and it takes you into London proper. And
yeah,
crash right there.
So I was able to get off the train, and I've done like you get a quest pretty much right after you walk off. But I've done that quest line, and now I'm doing the other quest line that came with that opening one. It's really neat. It looks great. I mean, it looks like Fallout, but they've made it into London. And the writing at first is like, oh, this seems pretty good. I don't think the writing is all that great. Like the more I get into it.
Oh no.
It's not awful, but it's not to the same level that like an actual Bethesda game is. Like you start going, oh, yeah, this was done by a group of amateurs, and they've done a decent job. Like everything looks great. It all sounds good. The voice acting, I think, works really well. I just don't think the writing is phenomenal. And but it's Fallout in London. It's kind of cool. So and it's free. So free is a good price. And finally, the moon buggy has come to Starfield.
Yay!
You can drive the moon buggy in Starfield, although you have to buy the moon buggy with in-game currency. I thought it was a little pricey, but you know, I guess ultimately it's not. I had about like 500,000 credits in my stash, and the moon buggy cost 25,000. So I don't know if you can get the moon buggy like immediately, because you probably don't have that amount of money, but you should be able to get it pretty quickly, I guess. It controls like the Halo Warthog. Like you use the sticks to drive.
Oh.
I was when I booted it up, I was like, all right, how's this work? And I press like the right trigger, because that's how you drive in video games, unless you're Halo. And it doesn't do anything. So then I started moving the sticks, and they made them like Halo. Yeah. That's a weird decision, but
It's surprising. Like, are you used to this in one game and one game only?
Right. Unfortunately, when you're using it on these planets in Starfield, there's not much in the way that's going to get in your way. So it works fine there. And, you know, being with the buggy, I was like, oh, I'll play a little bit more Starfield because I hadn't finished it. And I started the Crimson Fleet quest line, which is the pirates. And that one's pretty neat. Like, I think that, like, playing that and then playing Fallout 1, then it's like you can see the difference in how the quest writing is. Like, the quest writing in an actual Bethesda game is so very well done. And they've set up the quest line and the levels in such a way that it's like very intricate, and they have multiple paths to do things. And in Fallout London, it's like, you know, it's an amateurish thing, and you know, they don't have a way of solving some of the quest with multiple different ways. Like, it's, you know, go here, do this thing, and then come back. And in Starfield, like, you have a lot of options. You can do a lot of different things. And I was given like a directive, like, hey, you need to like sneak on here, and we don't want you to kill anybody because we don't want, you know, we don't want more heat on us or whatever. And you can kill everybody, but there could also just sneak through or bribe your way through by talking to certain people. There's multiple different ways of advancing. I think the quest line in Starfield is like really, really good. Unfortunately, I think I fucked myself because I have not been upgrading my ship.
Oh no.
And the final mission of the Crimson Fleet is you have an option of the way the quest line sets up is you're working for the UC Vanguard or whatever as a spy, and they set you up into the Crimson Fleet. And at the end, you have the option of like continuing your contract with the UC Vanguard and like being the, you know, the double agent that you are, and then working to do the bust on the Crimson Fleet, or you can betray the UC Vanguard and stick with the fleet. I decided to do the right thing and like work with the Vanguard, and they're like, all right, you're going to be like our point man for this space battle. And you're going up against ships that are like level 20, level 35. And I'm like level 21, 22. And my ship is still the Frontier. So it's the ship I got at the beginning.
Oh no.
I haven't upgraded. Like, I mean, like, it has guns, it has missiles, but I haven't upgraded much else than that. And I'm in the middle of this, like, space battle against the like way more armored ships that have missiles, and I'm just getting blown out of the sky like a couple minutes into the battle. I don't know what to do.
Like, go out and buy a new ship.
Yeah. Like, I don't, like, can I just jump from the system, go get a new ship and come back? Like, like, am I gonna fuck this storyline up, or do I have to like lose progress and like cycle back a little bit?
I mean, I feel like in most of these games, they wait for you to come back.
Yeah. Like, maybe I can just like go back to like New Atlantis or Jemison or whatever and get a new, like a starfighter that can work with this and then come back. Maybe I'll try that next. I don't know what to do. I've spent an hour and probably like 25 tries at this, and I'm like 2-3 minutes in each time. I'm just getting blown out of the sky, and I'm starting to get really frustrating. And I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to advance here, because once you die, it just reboots to when the battle had started, when the last autosave was. So anyway, Starfield, cool game. I'm like, people should play that. And the expansion's coming relatively soon, I think. End of September, I think. Seem about accurate.
Yeah, that's right.
Like September 25th or something like that.
Yeah, I think so. They announced that at Gamescom, so which didn't have a whole lot.
I was going to say one of the more exciting announcements of that show, which says more about the show than it does about the announcement.
Yeah. Yeah. Not much going on in terms of stuff came out of Gamescom. Is there anything that caught your guys' eye outside of like the Starfield expansion getting a date, Indiana Jones getting a date,
and PS5?
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Civilization 7 got a date.
It's true.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 got a date. There were games that got
we all got a date.
Kingdom Come Deliverance 2. When
February 11th.
Okay.
They're both those two games are both February 11th.
What were you going to say, Earl?
Oh, no, I was going to say there was a new Mafia game announced.
It's Mafia the Old Country or something like that.
It's like a prequel?
Yep.
Yeah, it's a prequel. It takes place in like early 1900s Italy. That seems like it could be cool.
I guess. What was the last one? Like Mafia 3 was like
New Orleans in the 60s.
60s New Orleans. Very great setting. I don't remember, I don't think the game was good.
Yeah.
But I don't remember, loving the game. I just remember thinking, oh, this is a cool setting for this type of game.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought it was neat, but it just played like a 1960s GTA game.
Yeah.
I guess that's how those Mafia games are, right? They're just period piece GTA games.
Yeah, pretty much.
I do wonder how it will play in this Sicily thing. I don't know what the
you'll be driving on little scooters cobblestone streets or whatever the fuck they are.
That could be neat. Anything else you guys caught from the forever long opening night live event?
I don't think it was. I don't think it's great, but I feel like it's something to discuss because it's a novel idea. The Secret Level TV show from Amazon. The anthology where each episode would be a different video game franchise, I should say. So, I mean, there was Mega Man. There was honestly Mega Man's the winner.
I saw Sifu.
Yeah, Sifu, which just was, I assume, the companies involved, because that's a very odd game to pick.
Yeah. Pac-Man, I think was.
Yes, Pac-Man. Armored Core. Crosser. Looking at a video game. Honor of Kings. Okay, at some point, this is just New World Artium. The Outer Worlds 2. God of War and Ghost of Tsushima are there too. It's an odd mixture of video games.
Yeah.
But
I know it's an anthology series. You said that. But is there
I guess technically
it's not there's no overarching storyline, right? It's just going to be like an animation thing that takes place in that world.
Yeah. I think they're one off. I assume essentially they're all going to be like pilots for potential TV shows.
Okay, that could be neat. I mean, some weird options for stuff to become a TV show, but okay.
Yeah, but I feel like that was needed to be discussed.
Concord, as in like the game that just launched on PlayStation?
Again, I feel like a lot of these choices, like, I assume the studio had to be involved in, and I also imagine it's going to be very, I don't want to say AI-driven, but like, yeah, because some of these games, again, are just coming out or some things for them to have an animated, even if it's half an hour. It's not like you can animate something in like a month or two.
Right. I don't even know what Honor of Kings is.
Yeah. Genshin Impact is coming to Xbox.
Oh yeah, that seems neat.
Yeah. And that's out next month, so I'm excited to check that out. My big qualm with it was it does co-op weird. Well, it doesn't do co-op. It's one of those things where like you don't. I mean, I guess you can team up with people and have them have characters. But like the progress, I mean, they probably fixed it by then, but the progress I remember on PlayStation was that it was tied to the person who was hosting the game. So like you'd all have to either all do it at the same time constantly or always just have whoever's furthest back host. But yeah, I'm intrigued by that, and it's tying in with the new expansion. I think that's out this week.
Okay.
Goat Simulator Remake. Yeah, it's not. It was 2 hours, and the only positive I could really think about was it was during work hours. So I'm like, oh, at least I still had work to keep me company. So it really was background noise, and I'm like, oh, like sometimes, like you know, everything we've all done it before. You put something on at work, and it's like, oh, something really catches your eyes, and you pay attention to it. I'm like, yeah, there really wasn't anything this time around. There's like one or two games from like Philtopia where I'm like, oh, this looks interesting. I won't remember it in like a month, but it's interesting. And yeah.
Just wait till tomorrow where they show off Squirrel with the Gun.
I am interested in that game.
Tony is all in on Squirrel with a Gun.
I will play that. That game looks stupid. And one other thing, I don't know if this was part of the opening night live or not, but the next Dark Pictures game was announced. Directive 80/20.
I don't know if that was part of it. But it's weird. It doesn't have co-op, which I was kind of sad about.
And it seems like there might be more, the Dark Picture games have been those cinematic adventure games, like The Quarry or Until Dawn, and from what I'm seeing of Directive 80/20, it may be a little more actiony than those other games as well. So, unfortunate, there's no co-op because I know that's how you've been playing.
Yeah,
games, right? But I'm interested to see how that plays out. I enjoy their stuff. So. And I've enjoyed most of the Dark Picture games. I don't have anything else here for Gamescom. It was a weird, low key kind of
not Gamescom related, and honestly, not even video game related. But there was also Nintendo. Well, not Nintendo technically. Lego announced the Mario Kart Lego set, and they're also doing additional Animal Crossing Villagers sets this year. So I assume at this point, it's been a couple years, it's been a ton of sets, that they're both probably printing money for the companies.
Yeah. I did not know there was a Lego Mario Kart set. That seems neat.
Yeah. Yeah.
Are they individual, like, or is it like, is it a big set that comes with all the different carts?
I think they're individual sets.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, $14.99 for the Yoshi bike. So anywhere between $15 and $40, it seems. And then there is the Grand Prix set, which is the bigger. It's like probably the mouthpiece, like the start of a race. That's $80, but looks like, yeah, they are individually selling them. Legos aren't cheap, guys.
No,
if you guys know,
not
that.
Even a little.
They're expensive. All right. Well, I guess that's it for us for this week, and we won't be back next week. I will be away again. I'm assuming you guys won't record while I'm not here. So.
Never know. You never know. Probably not, but you never know.
I mean, I will leave it open for you guys. You can always call on Craig and then just send me the link. But
Craig's a great man. Really, yeah. Is.
Here, he held it together. I am very impressed that, you know, I didn't think Craig would fall off when my computer crashed, but I'm glad to see that he stuck around.
Thanks, Craig.
Thank you, Craig, and for all you do. There'll be a new classic episode up next Wednesday. Been putting them up on the Wednesdays, so I think we'll be coming up on episode 4. I don't know if you guys have listened to any of them.
I've listened to the first one. I can't listen to myself.
They're. I don't find them like hard to listen to. It's just listening to how we did the show back then is wild. Like, for as much as I think sometimes we just, like, you know, we just kind of bullshit our way through the show every week, it's way more structured than it was when we started.
Well, you know, it's funny that you say that, though, because, like I first episode, and the first episode sounded like just the most normal episode of any podcast ever.
Really?
Like, yeah, like the first 10 minutes of it, anyways, I was just like, me, you, Tony, Fozzie, we all just kind of sound like very, very fucking normal. I sounded way more sober than I expected. Because I remember some of our early episodes, like, I think these episodes, Jesus Christ, those early episodes, I'd go fucking all out, dude. And Fozzie, too, like, I remember Fozzie be getting, like, his fucking an elevator. And do you remember what episode that was, Chris?
No, I do remember that there was one episode where he was at a party and he's trying to podcast with us, but he was at a party. I didn't realize
that. Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, I have not listened to anything beyond since I don't like listening to myself, and I was super worried about, like, I don't know. I mean, like, making, like, homophobic or racist or I don't know what jokes, because it was fucking what? And we all just kind of sounded normal. Yeah, we all kind of sounded, like, pretty normal, like, surprising. Like, because I know it for sure. But, like, yeah, I was like, yeah, all right, good. I'm fine with that. I don't want to hear any more. It's just one of those things, like, I could leave you a voicemail. I don't want to hear it because, like, I don't want to hear my voice. I hate it.
Yeah. I mean, I have, like, I don't have to edit these because they've already been edited. So I'm just taking the original edited piece and, you know, just making a video of it and then republishing it to Spotify or Apple or Amazon. So I don't have to listen to the whole thing, but to, like, kind of give a summary of what we talked about, I normally listen to the first 20 minutes or so. And doing episode 3 this past week, I see this weird, like, in the waveform, like, everything just compresses. And I'm like, what the hell is this? Like, why did we lose audio here? And we did breaks in the middle of the show. Like, I don't know what happened. I don't know if maybe we lost internet connection or something, but we have a break in the middle of the show. It's so weird. But we don't do that anymore. The way I introduced the show was completely different. Like, I think Earl, you asked like how did it come about? Like, good night, Jeff. I don't know.
Was it in there in episode one?
It's not in the beginning. And I, how I do it now, welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode this. I'm Chris, as always, joined by Tony. That wasn't at the beginning. I'm interested to see where things that feel have always been part of the show.
That intro, yeah. I feel like it's been there since forever.
Yeah, it kind of feels
to be saying goodbye. I remember started at some point. You're like, or say goodnight, Jeff. Say goodnight,
Yeah.
That came later.
I'm interested to see where those things happen. Yeah. It was really weird. Like, I think I've always, we've always done it virtually except for one or two times where we were together, but I've always pictured us around the table. So Tony's in my head to my right. So that's kind of how I went around. And it's always been that way. Jeff, you're on my left. Earl, you're across from me, and Tony's on my right. Just to, visually give me to how we can introduce it. And that was, how it was before. Like, Tony's on my right, Fozzie's across from me, Jeff on my left. But that wasn't how I kind of introduced it. I think we always introduced you last, Jeff. But
you're passing the blunt the wrong way, man. Yeah, you gotta go.
Yeah, it should go clockwise. It should go clockwise. it's I'll be interested just to see where things that we always do on the show happen. Also where we start, because for a long, Fozzie was on the show for quite a long time, and for a good portion of it, it was the Fozzie's mom era.
Oh yeah.
Oh my god, Fozzie's mom.
Fozzie's mom, yeah.
So I'm Earl's what the hell are you guys talking about? But one of the running jokes was we would just talk about Fozzie's mom all the time.
It's just 2000s humor. Someone wants to fuck Fozzie's mom. I don't know.
I don't think it ever got sexual. It was always stupid things.
I thought Fozzie's mom was supposed to be Stifler's mom type of situation. Am I wrong on this?
I don't know. I'll be interested to find out.
See, I'm sorry to say.
More classic episodes coming. I am finding it enjoyable. Just hearing the games we were playing, and also
Tony sounds way younger.
Yeah, very, very much.
I was way younger.
I mean, we all I think all of our voices sound a little different, but Tony sounds like a kid that he is heading to college. No, you weren't. You were older than that at the time. But you really did sound like it. I was like, wow. I was surprised by your voice.
Fascinating stuff. I'm enjoying that whole experience of revisiting it and seeing how we did things. But so catch another one of those next Wednesday. And then no episode from us next week. I will be off celebrating my birthday, and then another classic episode, and then we'll be back early September. So, Jeff, say goodnight.
I don't know where this came from, but good night.